You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, jackbooted thugs and patriots alike. It is that time again. It is time for the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. And coming to you on a new night now, Tuesday night, if you will, Tuesday night truth. For those in the government indoctrination camps, it still spells out TNT radio. And as always, we have the same call-in number, so we welcome you to call in at 858-683-1326. That's 858-683-1326. Looking at the calendar here, looking up here at the Freedom calendar, and today is Tuesday, June the 3rd. And we will start out, as always, with this week in history. First thing we see on the calendar here is Jefferson Davis, born on this date in 1808. Happy birthday to Confederacy President Jefferson Davis on this date in 1808. Would be his 206th birthday, Jefferson Davis. Also this week we have Henry Ford completed the first automobile this week in 1896. And unfortunately, in 1933, we had House Joint Resolution 192, the unconstitutionally abrogated act forces you to give up any contracts in gold. That's where they took away the rights of gold as a monetary device here in the United States. And finally, also this week, the birthday in 1755 of Nathan Hale. So there you go, this week in history. And we know as we go to the airwaves tonight, everything everybody's talking about has to do with the Taliban men, quote unquote, and the trade for the Taliban men in exchange for a U.S. soldier. We know that's all the hip news today about the Taliban men and the U.S. soldier, if you will. But we know there's always more to the story than they tell you about. And that's our goal tonight. Getting into the truth about the story of what happened with these supposedly, allegedly five members of the Taliban who were traded out for a member of the U.S. military. Now, Afghans say that the Taliban prisoners that were freed by the United States would rejoin the battle because they were classified high risk. These five Taliban prisoners in exchange for U.S. soldiers drawn criticism from some Afghans who say that the detainees are dangerous and they will rekindle ties with terrorist networks to resume fighting just as more foreign troops are leaving. So what do you think the chances are, maybe 99% or higher, that this U.S. soldier was CIA or some other government agency? Anyone really think that the government would go to this extent for an everyday cannon fodder grunt soldier? Anybody really think that they would give up five quote-unquote members of the Taliban for one soldier? But our own minds cannot anticipate their own advance, so we must maintain leeway for understanding the unforeseeable lessons of these experiences. So when the Afghans tell you that the Taliban prisoners that are freed by the U.S. will rejoin the battle, exactly. Some might even say that's why the U.S. military released them, so they can rejoin the battle, to scare you into surrendering more of your rights for quote-unquote safety. Some people might say that it's not an accident, that it was no blunder, that it was working just the way they wanted it to work, so maybe you shouldn't buy into it because we don't think you should be giving up your freedoms. If a quote-unquote terrorist comes to do you harm, then you knock him out. You knock them off. If a government terrorist comes to do you harm, what do? Because we know they're going to shoot first and ask questions later. We know they're not going to wait to see if they have the right person. We've seen that with a lot of the government police officers that we've had to see lately. Remember, we were told these were five of the most dangerous Taliban commanders. So again, if they were five of the most dangerous Taliban commanders, why would they be releasing them for one American soldier? You want to feel happy for the soldier and his family. You want to be glad that he can hold up a sign once he's on board an American helicopter and the operators quickly confirming that they were, in fact, U.S. Special Forces, that they've been looking for him for a long time. That's what the government tells you now. So don't really know what to believe in this story just yet. We will hold off our judgment while we wait to see what else comes in, because it's headlines on Drudge Report. It's all over it about how there was a lot more to the soldier walking away than we know, and how that there's a note left explaining desertion before going AWOL, and how he supposedly wanted to renounce his U.S. citizenship, and how the father said he was still working to free all Guantanamo soldiers, I'm sorry, prisoners. Just something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about if they're telling you the truth, if they're leveling with you about what's really going on out there. Now, since we're talking about soldiers and the military, what about the fact that the U.S. Navy has an all-clear with San Francisco to develop condominiums on a radiological site? Has anybody heard this story lately? The developers are planning a high-rise in an area of San Francisco where the Navy conducted radiation decontamination training and where they buried hazardous materials. And the Navy has announced it will give its final, quote-unquote, assessment soon on whether they land the plan to sell to the city of San Francisco this development. And you go back 21 years, the Navy has attempted to convince the city of San Francisco to buy back Treasure Island, this decommissioned naval base located in the bay. And then once acquired, the city can sell the land to developers who, you guessed it, have long envisioned building a $1.5 billion high-rise community. It's going to be one of the premier addresses, the PR people tell you. In San Francisco, the director of the Treasure Island Development Authority said, all happy and joyfully, but before the Navy can unload the property, it has to prove the island's safety to city and state health departments. Oh, yeah, we got the federal government battling with the city and state governments about whether it's safe. The problem is, this is going to be the Navy's second, quote-unquote, final assessment. They had a 2006 investigation 8 years ago conducted by an independent contractor that failed to turn up these various radiological hotspots. And the Navy's cleanup efforts have done little, if any, good, with many alleging that they've actually done more to widen the spread of contamination. Treasure Island, you see, has a serious radiological history. The 403-acre piece of real estate was constructed to house the 1939 Golden Gate International Exposition, but it was seized in 1942 by the Navy for the war effort. The site served to train Navy personnel for radiological operations as early as 1947, and it birthed ships the Navy swears were surveyed and decontaminated at other shipyards. However, a mock ship, the USS Pandemonium, used for decontamination training, remained continually docked there. Decontamination involved spraying and scrubbing the surfaces of the mock-up with water and detergent to wash away the radioactive contamination, said the 2006 assessment. It seemed that only short-lived isotopes were used for training. But you fast forward and you have investigations revealing that Treasure Island had a larger radiological history than previously disclosed. It included a repair shop for gun sights, It sometimes contains glowing markers made of radioactive elements. Not making this stuff up, folks. In fact, some of the island's 2,000 residents say the Navy knowingly misled them. They should have been more open and upfront because there would have been people who would have chosen not to live here, said one former resident to the Bay Citizen. And other island inhabitants maintain living there made them sick. This from the East Bay Express. According to former resident Brenna Summers, her sister Misty, 7 years old when they made the move to Treasure Island, had an emergency hysterectomy at age 18 to receive a mass cancerous from the uterus and ovaries. And her other sister, Heather, was pregnant while living on the island, and her son was born with birth defects. And the Summers' children were later born with birth defects as well. And all the pets the family owner took care of while living on the island, including 8 dogs and 3 cats, all died. With the exception of 1 cat, all the pets died between the ages of 1 and 6 years old. No, nothing to worry about here at all, folks. Needless to say, residents have grown weary of the Navy's reassurances, but the department continues declaring that the island is safe. We believe there is no public health hazard, Laura Dushnik, the director of the Navy Base Realignment Closure Program, told CBS San Francisco. Now, this could be one of two things, folks. Either number one, the Navy is seriously understating the potency of the radiation, or maybe number two, this is being totally blown out of proportion, similar to when they generate a hazmat incident because someone breaks a CFL light bulb. Who knows? Guess the ones that know the real truth aren't saying anything, are they? I mean, what the Navy should be doing is taking all of the drums, thousands of drums that leak these highly radioactive materials out into the bay and burying them on that island. Hard to believe that the government is filled with these misanthropes, right, ladies and gentlemen? They keep telling you stuff that you know is not true. They keep trying to reassure you that everything is okay. They keep trying to tell you stuff that you know is totally 100%, 180 degrees away from the truth. You even have a former CBS reporter recently agreeing that the mainstream media is manipulated and controlled by the government and the establishment. So you have a growing movement that's trying to sway public opinion through social media and Wikipedia. And speaking from direct experience, a refreshingly honest former CBS correspondent openly confirmed that the mainstream media is being covertly manipulated by well-financed political forces who are also trying to sway public opinion through social media and by editing Wikipedia articles. Surprise, surprise, right? We never would have expected that. But Cheryl Atkinson, who also served as a correspondent with CNN, suggests that real investigative journalism is disappearing in mainstream media. Really? Due to the current editorial trend to push stories in an unnatural direction in order to serve establishment agendas. And Cheryl Atkinson had a book out, of course. She was hawking a book, but that's okay because what she had hoped to do with her book, she said, was to explain how the public sees these images every day, not only on the news, but including in the news, but also on social media, on television, on billboards, and how these images are manipulated in covert and surreptitious ways by political forces and financially backed forces that they have no idea about. It kind of reminds me of all the people that are tracking you while you're on the internet. Hell, even going to this story, I noticed that Ghostery, which I used to protect among other programs, used to protect my computer. It tells me that just while I was going to this story, that there was the advertising group AdBlade was trying to track me. The analytical group AlexaMetrics was trying to track me. You had a widget named Discus trying to track me. You had another advertising group called DoubleClick trying to track me. And you had another group called Google Analytics trying to track me. Surprise, surprise, right? These groups are all tracking you, and you don't see them. It's covert. No one thinks it's out there, but it is. And then you can find out that there are even more advertising groups trying to track you. And if you're wondering who they are, well, let me pull up the request here. I'll tell you who they are. Intermarkets, Quantcast, eProof.com, Yahoo, they're all trying to track you while you're out there doing stuff on the internet. And most people are never aware of it at all. And that kind of takes us back to what we're saying here, that people don't know the underlying, what's underneath the surface. What Cheryl Atkinson, this former correspondent with CNN and CBS, told the Daily Signal was that if you become savvy to this manipulation and sometimes outright propaganda, you can learn to recognize it and sort of filter through it. Which I think helps people make up their own mind about what's really going on in the world, she said. And we have to agree with her on that. She also indicated there's a growing movement inside Washington, D.C. to affect public opinion outside of direct lobbying. Now, she says, there's a whole industry set up around manipulating public opinion or swaying public opinion in other ways through social media, maybe setting up blind accounts or accounts with pseudonyms, editing Wikipedia in certain ways, posting on Twitter and Facebook. There are all kinds of ways that people's opinions are being shaped through forces they don't know are behind the shaping of their opinions. And I really think it's important that people know who's behind the efforts. And this movement is expanding at a breakneck speed. Just a few months ago, for example, social media giant Facebook began offering public education ad space, quote unquote, with content written by anti-gun groups targeted at users who were interested in firearm-related content. Isn't that nice? Fortunately, in contrast to this rising propaganda, an increasing number of former mainstream journalists, such as Atkinson, are now heading to alternative media, where investigative stories, such as how the federal government used extremely premature babies in a dangerous story, won't be burned in favor of false narratives. We hear a lot about these false narratives that are intended to paint the Obama administration and 500 different federal bureaucracies in a positive light. People don't even know the names of a lot of the federal bureaucracies out there. You got a federal bureaucracy that consists of about 500 different departments, agencies, administrations, authorities, commissions, and they all carry out responsibilities that is allegedly assigned to them through congressional legislation. Maybe it's not sexy, maybe it's not the most exciting thing, but what are some of these examples of federal bureaucracy? Well, the oldest example is, of course, the Department of State, created back all the way in 1789. But the largest executive department today, no surprise, is the Department of Defense, with about 650,000 civilian employees. And then you got to, of course, the newest federal bureaucracy is the good old Homeland Security Department, created by Congress in 2002. You got one that impacts all of us on a daily basis, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. It's quote-unquote going to guarantee the purity of our food and medicine, if you believe that crap. You got these departments, and they're the largest organizations within the federal bureaucracy. You have 15 different executive departments, agriculture, commerce, defense, education, energy, health and human services, justice, homeland security, housing, urban development, interior, labor, state, transportation, treasury, veterans affairs. They all have a head of the department that they like to call a secretary. Of course, the exception would be the Department of Justice, which has the Attorney General, the Attorney General, as we like to call them, and all these officials serve in the President's cabinet. Again, this is the federal bureaucracy that most people don't know about. Most people don't follow it, and it's right there in front of your face. It's just not exciting to read about. And when we come back and tell you about what's going on with the federal bureaucracy, it's not conspiracy theory stuff, folks. It's real life stuff. It's been well documented that the mainstream media has practically been a government mouthpiece since at least the 1950s for all these groups. Back when Operation Mockingbird began in the early 50s with the CIA, and it's a little bit refreshing and revealing to see that you finally have a former network correspondent not only openly talking about the media control, but also viewing the alternative media as a solution to the controlled press, rapidly losing its influence. Maybe we'll have to dig into those numbers about how bad the TV news ratings are, because they're all falling. Yes, even Fox News is dropping off. This is not a big shock to us, but they've taken big hits in the demos lately. You always have a route to the alternative news here on the My View Matters radio network. We hope that everybody will stay with us here. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break, and again, you're listening to the TNT radio show with your host, Dale the Truth, My View Matters radio network.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment. We'll be right back.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and this is one of the shows where we do think you can handle the truth. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network, and we were teasing before the break about how bad the ratings are for TV news shows, and it's got a lot worse than that you even may know that it is, and that includes Fox News. We know a lot of the neocons who listen to us here. We hope they're learning stuff, but they're still listening to Fox News, and over on Fox News is where their ratings, too, are going way, way, way down, and we're going to talk about that here. Fox News seeing a 12-year low in a key demographic last month. And we know the other TV stations, whether it be CNN, MSNBC, those guys have been falling off a cliff as far as their ratings go. But Fox News' own ratings took a hit in the key demo for the month of May. They drew 264,000 viewers, aged 25 to 54. And that was, again, during prime time. And that was the lowest that they had had in over 12 years, since August of 2001. Remember, that was before the terrorist attacks of September 2001. This is their lowest ratings they've had since before that. Their entire primetime lineup, Greta Van Susteren, Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, Sean Hannity, hit 12-year lows in the demographic. But at the same time, Fox News maintained their dominance over the competing networks because MSNBC and CNN were battling out for second place, and they were only getting 593,000 versus 384,000. And in the key demographic, we just talked about how Fox News was down to 264,000, roughly 250,000 viewers between 25 and 54 years old, and that's in prime time. And MSNBC and CNN, their key demographic at the same time, is down between 130 and 145,000 in the same time frame. So that's how few people are watching them. You have millions and millions of people in this country, and only 130 to 140,000 are watching these news networks at night. And you see, the Fox News Network reversed its fortunes since last month. That was back when CNN was flying high, because CNN was all over the nonstop blanket coverage of the missing Flight 370. And then MSNBC even beat CNN in total viewers and the demographic for total day ratings in the first week of May. Now, if you go back to last year, Fox News has lost significant numbers in the demographic in the past. For example, about a year ago, they lost 30% of their viewers, age 25 to 54. But then went back up the first quarter of this year. So, again, it's a show of statistics, which isn't very, very exciting to talk about, I know. But how are these networks much different from the National Enquirer of cable news? Because you might turn one of them on, and what you should be saying is what they're saying might be true. There might actually be some truth to it. You never know. Could the reason be that the viewers are realizing that they really can't count on Fox News and they really can't count on them as a reliable source when it comes to facts? We can hope so. I'm just not that optimistic. Of course, you have idiots like Bill Maher, and I know he's out there saying that Fox News is the alternative history channel. And look at his network. How many people are watching HBO, for crying out loud, as far as his show goes, the news shows? I'm not talking about the big popular sexy programs that they run, fiction, drama. I'm talking about his news programs. He's not getting any ratings either. So there you go, the Fox News hitting a major low, their worst ratings in 12 years, and the other networks obviously are even further behind them. Now, the really, really bad story that we're hoping that some people in the media are telling you about is what's going on with Eric Holder. And this just came out today, unfortunately. Actually goes back to something that happened yesterday. Yesterday, Attorney General Eric Holder announced that they were going to form a Department of Justice task force, a DOJ task force, to combat, quote, escalating danger, unquote, from homegrown terrorists in the United States. And this is kind of shocking, and not shocking like we were surprised, but shocking like outrageous, because they're targeting us. They're targeting those of us who don't worship the government. I mean, if you're a McConnell acolyte, I guess you don't have much to worry about, because the McConnell acolytes worship what he's been doing for 30 years, or I should say, what little he's been doing for 30 years. But for everybody else, they see you as a homegrown terrorist. And there was a video that was posted up on the DOJ website where Eric Holder claimed that it was time to focus on terrorism in the United States right here. Big shock, the video has now been removed. But Holder says that we, quote, face an escalating danger from self-radicalized individuals within our own borders. Well, they don't believe in borders, so I guess they mean those imaginary lines that they invite the people from other countries to walk across. And, of course, Holder used the Fort Hood shootings in 2009. Remember Fort Hood shootings? This was a military hate crime, basically, but they called it workforce violence. Yeah. So he cited those shootings, and he cited the Boston Marathon bombings in last year as examples of, quote, the danger that we face from these homegrown threats, unquote. Now, this should really worry you, folks. This should really, really start to scare you a little bit. Because when they say that they're reviving the domestic terror task force, again, who do you think that they're pointing their guns, literally, pun intended, at? I mean, this is, at least to me, no different than any other historical dictator calling up their own private political armies to quell dissent. But wait, Obama told us that he had that objective when he was running for office, didn't he? He talked about his own little standing Obama army. Still trying to figure out why he brought up Fort Hood, because remember when it happened, they claimed it was just workplace violence. I guess unless you can prove that you voted more than once for a Bolshevik, then Eric Holder may want to talk to you folks. He cited no specific domestic threat, of course, but right-wing, anti-Obama, Christian, white, conservative males are known to be the threat, of course. You see, George Orwell had it right, folks. George Orwell said that truth is a new hate speech. I mean, this is the TNT radio show, the Tuesday Night Truth show. Now, Orwell said that during times of universal deceit, telling the truth will become a revolutionary act. Remember what Barack Hussein Obama said 6 years ago this month? He said, we cannot continue to rely on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that is just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded. That was Barack Hussein Obama in the summer of 2008 before he was coronated, elected, chosen, appointed, however you want to call it, as president. Now, does that, again, make us conspiracy theorists if we talk about this? Don't think so. I guess all of a sudden, are they going to say that Major Hassan, instead of being Islamic at Fort Hood, was really a Christian? And are they going to all of a sudden say that the foreign kids that were allegedly involved in the Boston Marathon bombings are now pro-life Christians? Are they going to say that? I mean, what a coincidence. Just at the time that Obama is doing everything he can to gin up dissent with active military vets, people that support the military and vets, gun owners, and everyone else he considers, quote, political adversaries, unquote, this is all going down. What a coincidence, right? I'm sure there's no connection at all to any of this. Remember last time that Obama and company ginned up this type of dissent, we had an attempted car bombing in New York City, which they tried to blame on the right-wing extremist Tea Party. Of course, we all know with the attempted car bombing in New York City, the terrorists were so in tune with the news that they just picked up on Obama and company's talking points, and they just spontaneously planned this terrorist attack. They want you to think that, folks. They want you to think that there's all these series of accidents and coincidences and ironic events that are not tied to each other. They want you to think that all this stuff's going on and it's just a coincidence. No, it has any connection. Remember, we have to suppress the dissent of the elderly veterans. Look what happens with the poor war veterans when they go to the VA hospitals. I mean, hell, remember good old Eric Holder? He did such an impressive job of stopping the Sarnoff brothers in the Boston bombings, right? It makes you wonder what Holder is preparing for. Is he making preparations for another quote-unquote spontaneous fertilizer car bomb, like the one that was attempted in NYC in 2010, which they tried to blame on the Tea Party? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you wonder why I don't have computer problems to write when this show comes on the air, right? I'm trying to block all these things that are popping up that I never have to worry about except for the hour during this show. Makes you wonder. I guess if we make it appear as if the terrorists are just simply picking up on the Democratic Party talking points that are in the news and spontaneously plan a terrorist attack around these talking points, mission accomplished. Remember what Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good tragedy go to waste, right? Got to take away some more rights. Got to go gather some more ammunition. Got to go stockpile some ammunition while telling the American people, you don't need that. Remember, they always tell you what you don't need when it comes to shooting a weapon and what kind of weapon you're going to shoot. And, oh, who needs that kind of a weapon for hunting? Why does the U.S. military need all the ammunition that they're piling up? We've documented on this show so many times the amounts of government ammunition that's being purchased, the contracts that are out there on display. The DHS buying up ammunition, Homeland Security, massive ammo buys. What about the Pentagon when they were going to destroy $1 billion in ammunition? What about the post office, the worthless, horrible, crappy-ass post office buying up all kinds of federal ammunition? I'm sure it's all just coincidence. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about there. Post office, Homeland Security, all these groups buying up all the ammunition. No need to be afraid at all. Go to our phone lines now. Got one of our good friends calling in. I'm sure he's got nothing to be afraid of at all. We're going to see what he wants to say tonight. You are listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network, and go straight to the phone lines. I believe it's our good friend Paul on the line.
Hiya, TNT. Tuesday Night Truth. I like it now, Paul.
Yeah, even the Government Indoctrination Camp kids can remember it's still TNT. How are you?
Hey, listen, you've just been opining about here in the last few minutes, and because I just got in on this part of the show, has to do with what I consider to be a groupthink situation. Mm-hmm. Groupthink's been pretty prevalent in our society in the form of political correctness, but the groupthink that you're talking about extends into a new strata when it involves our Congress and our legislatures. If you stop and think about history, and I'm not sure that this part of history is taught anymore in the government indoctrination camps, but Adolf Hitler could not have possibly risen to power without the complicity of the, I think they call their parliament over there the Bundestag, okay? And same thing with Obama and before that George Bush. These guys can't do a thing unless there is complicit behavior on the part of those in the legislature. Now, I really don't care why these legislators are complicit. I really don't care. I don't care whether they have linguine for spines. I don't care whether they're getting paid off. I don't care whether they are ignoring the obvious facts, such as the post office buying millions of dollars of ammunition for what?
Yeah, nothing to see here.
Help, you know, will that help them to mail there any quicker or improve their service?
Apparently they're buying ammunition, Paul, just to shoot the hell out of the magazines I subscribe to because their delivery of the mail is horrible, and I've tried to do as much as I can electronically so I don't receive any mail because the mail delivery is horrible. They are hemorrhaging millions of dollars. So I'm sure that ammunition is just to protect them against dogs and that kind of thing.
But to your bigger point, Dale, you know, your bigger point is, are all of these events that end up having government take away our rights and privileges, are they just coincidences? And probably 10 years ago, I would not make the statement I'm about to make, but I'm actually of the opinion these days that I think most of this stuff is, in fact, orchestrated.
Can't disagree with you too much there. It's by design. I've been telling people, and I was telling people this several years ago, we were all conspiracy theorists, Paul. It can never happen here. Our government wouldn't do this to us. Everybody had Stockholm Syndrome, and nobody thought that their captures in the name of the U.S. government would ever do anything bad to them because that couldn't happen here, Paul.
Well, what we need, Dale, is that we need all of the people of Scotch and Irish descent. We need for them to recreate a major battle that occurred in Kings Mountain down in the Carolinas that turned the American Revolution around in favor of the Patriots. We really could benefit from that. And I'll tell you, it was the Scotch-Irish people, the immigrants, who said enough's enough.
Yeah.
Enough's enough.
Talking about my people there, yeah.
So we need to find a way to mobilize and to incentivize folks that are like they were, and that is they put it all on the line. In fact, one of the five generals down at Kings Mountain was a patriot by the name of Isaac Shelby, who later on, after he and his 200 or 300 men from what was then Virginia and is now Kentucky, after they defeated a much larger British force in the span of 65 minutes, Isaac went on to become the first governor of the new state of Kentucky. So those are the kinds of folks that we could really, really, really benefit from in this day and age.
Well, Paul, I'm pretty sure those kind of people wouldn't have been too pleased with what Attorney General Holder was coming down with this week, and he wants to start this homegrown terrorist task force. And this goes back to what we try to tell people about when the MIAC report came out. And this, you know, the MIAC report was about 2.5 years ago when they said that potential terrorists, well, they look like you and me, because they said potential terrorists were the people who owned gold or were Ron Paul supporters or were libertarians or who even flew the U.S. flag. Those were the potential terrorists. And then we also had in 2012 the leaked Homeland Security study that said Americans who are, quote, reverent of individual liberty and, quote, suspicious of federal authority are possible terrorists. So it all comes together now in documents going basically to call the Founding Fathers extremists. And in U.S. history, there are many examples of extremist ideologies and movements. So they thought that the colonists who wanted to seek freedom from British rule, they were just basically terrorists.
Well, the British overlords, they tried every intimidation tactics in the book, every single one. And there were there were large numbers of people who were sympathetic toward the British point of view. They called Tories, and in fact, the forces that our Patriots defeated down there at Kings Mountain were mostly Tories. One of the things that really happened to the dynamics in the country after that defeat of the British irregulars down at Kings Mountain was that when the word spread through the states, not only did the Patriots begin to get more people supporting the cause, but those people who ended up thinking that they were going to be loyal and sympathetic toward the British point of view, they got scared to death. And that battle caused the British to have extreme difficulty in intimidating intimidating the masses. We call the masses today, we call them the sheeple, okay?
Yep.
Because that's where most people are. Most people are sheeple today. But they had sheeple back in those days as well. But when Kings Mountain happened and the Patriots got this resounding kick-ass victory over the British, that the war ended in a year after that. And the people were scared to death to sign up as a Tory. They were scared to death. Why? Yep. Because the Patriots showed that they could win against the mighty British. And the parallels between then and now are just unbelievably similar. We have a mighty government.
Back then, the people depended on the power of ears to come in on horseback and tell what's going on. But you know, I just talked about all the misinformation that's out there. They call it news, and it really is information overkill. It's not news. It's what I call the junk food media. They're feeding us this diet of genetically modified news, if you will, and that's why we try to get people on a better diet here and wean them off the junk food media. But again, they didn't have the junk food media back then. Now they had the crown, and like you said, we talk about the Tories and what was going on in that clash there. But it took a guy on a horseback to go around and tell people about the British coming, and now we have all the internet, and God knows I talked about at the beginning of the show about it before you probably got to tune in, about the way they try to track everything you do on the internet. And I've got more blocks on my computers than probably anybody out there to keep the fascist state that you and I talk about monitoring us. But there's enough resources out there, is the point I'm getting at, on the internet, that people don't have a reason anymore to be complacent. I talked about earlier in the week, I posted out on the social networks about how I had to go get my quote, vehicle registration renewed this past month, and I waited to the very last day of the month to do it, because if I hadn't have done it, the government would have come after me with threat of force and maybe putting me in a cage. And are we really free if we have to get a registration to drive a car? And they try to make it really fast and easy, Paul, because I sat there, and I was probably in there about 20 minutes. If it took a long time, and if it wasn't easy to put all this extra government on people, maybe people would get pissed off. But I guess they make it so easy, people go along with it. Don't you agree, Paul, that's a bad thing when you have these government agencies? And I'm not a fan of the county clerk's office. Everyone kisses the ass of Bobby Hoskall and tells us what a wonderful job she's made it so easy. To me, that's bad when they make government easy, because it's easier to accept. Am I wrong?
Well, taking it back, and I believe I heard you say the other night that you are not a parent.
Nope.
Is that correct? Taking it back to the nuclear family model, when parents mollycoddle, and that's a term from the American Revolutionary War days, but when they mollycoddle their children turn out to be a whole lot less productive and a whole lot less responsible, and they're easily led, if you will. So what you're describing as far as government doing those types of things to the masses at large, you get the same effect. And one of the things that made the Patriots down at Kings Mountain different than the Tories was that the Patriots lived on the west side of the Appalachians, and they went there for a couple of reasons. Number one, they wanted to get the hell away from the East Coast money folks and the government over there. Number two, they were quite okay with providing a living for themselves. So they were used to having to go out and get their own food and plant their own crops and take care of their own heating and cooling and shelter. But today, we don't have those kinds of folks. And these, that's why I like to make the parallel between the sheeple of today and the Tories of yesteryear. The Patriots on the western side of the Appalachians were the folks who knew how to get things done, who knew how to carve a life. And it was a little harder, but it's what they wanted. And interestingly, according to all the history books, democracy flourished west of the Appalachians. Mm-hmm. Flourished. There were no government programs to bail people out. There were neighbors helping neighbors when the need arose. However, there were no long-term arrangements like we have today. People had a different value system. Today, people expect someone to take care of them. Back then, no. It was a point of pride to be able to take care of oneself. And in fact, it was embarrassing to have anyone have to take care of your basic needs. So Dale, you are right in that having all of this government do all these things for folks to make life easier does produce the society that we have today.
I can't disagree with you, Paul. We appreciate you weighing in. And folks, Paul brings up something about them trying to get away from the East Coast money, if you will, the banksters, as we call them. How ironic, we're still trying to get away from the East Coast banksters today. And you look out there, what's going on. What if our banksters were forced to pay the tens of billions of dollars in settlement for crashing our economy? But these fees are just a small fraction of the price that American taxpayers have paid for the economic collapses. And we're still running away from the East Coast banksters. But so far, the, quote, too big to fail banks have forked out $80 billion in legal fees related to their crisis. And the ratings agencies predicted the banksters are on hook for another $50 to $100 billion. So it's a lot, but it's a drop in the bucket to the guys who print money for fun. That's their hobby, printing money. We have this typhoon of East Coast banksters that's spreading the fallout of this economic Fukushima, if you will, and that's what we're dealing with. We're still trying to get away from the banking oligopoly, and that's what's going on right now. The system is rigged. Americans are going to have to get more fed up with the banksters. If you want any chance at stopping the next economic breakdowns, meltdowns, whatever you want to call them, if you want any chance at that, then you're going to have to stand up to the banksters. If you want to stop the next economic breakdown, you got to break the banks. You got to start doing what Iceland did and throw the banksters in jail for their crimes. Don't be a number. Don't be a sheep. Like Paul and I talk about, don't be a piece of sheeple. Stand up and say death to the New World Order. We thank you for listening again, folks. You've been listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.